Wow. I feel like I just realized, because of the last message, that I have a human spirit.
Amen.
That was great. Last college training, I shared on this same topic. It's on fruit bearing. I guess the Lord is trying to tell me something. I'm in the same boat as many of you. If you look at this sheet you have here, let's read the title that comes after the first two paragraphs. Okay? The normal Christian life, being a life that bears fruit. Okay, there's a word in here. It's normal. Many of us may think that we're normal Christians, but if you read these excerpts, you'll find out that if we're not bearing normal fruit, we're not normal Christians. What is normal fruit? What would you say? Anybody? That's right. Fruit that remains is remaining fruit. So we enjoy singing the song that we sang, Abiding in the Vine. But John 15 is a chapter on abiding for fruit bearing. So there's a statement here in the reading. It says, many of us may not care whether we bear fruit. Many of us. Actually, I think here that's not the case. Okay, that's not the case, I think, here. But if you are in that boat, you don't care whether you bear fruit. I can empathize with you because I've been there. The reason we wouldn't care if we bore any fruit is because we just don't know the Lord personally. Once we come into a personal, private fellowship with the Lord, we begin to love Him. He begins to love us. And then we find out something. Man. He'll say, man. Mankind. I love mankind. So if we genuinely are abiding in the vine, and all the riches of God's life are ours, and we're enjoying them, then we won't be this. We will not be those who do not care whether we bear fruit. If we are that, that's okay, because the anointing eventually is going to teach you to abide, because you have it. And then you will care. I have gone from one to the other. But now that most of us care whether or not we bear fruit, we need to realize that although we care, we're not that normal. Because we've had the divine life, most of us, for years, but the evidence of that divine life is not there. Okay? A tree is evidenced by its fruit. If we have the genuine church life, then we ought to have normal fruit. Okay, if we're abiding in the vine and enjoying all the riches, you know, we're enjoying the church life, we're having morning revival, we're reading the Bible, we're going to the meetings, we're in the Bible study, we might say, I've been enjoying the Lord. I really enjoyed the Lord this past school year. But I like to read some portions to you from the ministry on the God-ordained way and the practice of the vital groups. We have to realize that we have an enemy. If you don't enjoy the Lord, you don't have this enemy. But if you have a heart for the Lord, you, like me, have an enemy, and it's a subtle enemy. It's called barrenness. It's not an evident enemy. It's a very sneaky, subtle enemy. And it creeps in over time. It's called barrenness. This is what Brother Lee said. We may feel that we have been enjoying the Lord every day, but a tree is known according to its fruit. The real church life can be evidenced only by fruit bearing. If we have not borne fruit for 3 years, for 5 years, or even for 10 years, our enjoyment of Christ should be questioned. Something must be improper or wrong if we are not bearing fruit. Right? In the human life, if a husband and wife eventually don't bear fruit, they don't say everything's okay. They realize something must be wrong. And Bradley says, if we can't have fruit in the human life, the Lord can be our replacement. But if we can't have spiritual fruit, the Lord won't be our replacement. He says, something must be improper or wrong if we are not bearing fruit. Okay? So this was the Lord's own... This. Why can we say this? It's because of what the Lord said Himself in John 15. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that does not bear remaining fruit, He takes away. That's 15:2a. And then in 6a, it says, He is cast out. Okay, to be taken away and to be cast out, that's not to lose our salvation. We can never lose our salvation. It means that we are cut off from the participation in the riches of the life of the vine. That's why Brother Lee would say, you should question your enjoyment. I need to question my enjoyment. I shouldn't say so easily, I've been enjoying the Lord, if it's not evidenced by fruit, because we're talking about the riches of the vine. We're not talking about a superficial touch. Okay? Emmanuel will get into this. It's a heart problem. Remember, we touched this verse in the summer training. Hosea 14:8. I am like a green fir tree. From me your fruit is found. If we're truly in the riches of the vine, He's like a green fir tree. And from Him our fruit is found. We will spontaneously be bearing fruit. And the fruit is the evidence of our enjoyment of the riches. Without the fruit, the Lord says, we're cut off. See, we get deceived by a subtle enemy, because wherever the Word of God is, there will be some grace. Praise the Lord. You go to the Bible study, you go to the home meeting, you go to the whatever meeting, there's going to be grace, because you're an object of grace. You're a vessel of mercy. But what about the riches? What about the riches? The evidence of experiencing the riches is the fruit. Okay? And enjoying the riches equals joy. Okay? This is what the Lord said in John 15:11. Okay? He explained this. He explained it like this. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit is cut off from the riches. And then He says to them, I tell you these things, that my joy may be in you. Amen. If we're not bearing the fruit, the Lord's joy is not in us. And then He says, and that your joy may be made full. Amen. This is really true. When we can bear remaining fruit, our joy is made full. Amen. That is the joy of the Christian life. That is the splendor that was spoken of in the summer training. And you know this because the apostles experienced it. If you look in 3 John, verse 4, the apostle says, I have no greater joy than this, that I hear that my children are walking according to the truth.
Amen.
Okay, this is John. His writings are what we are recording. Memorizing. We're memorizing John's writing. But what was John's joy? Go ahead. What was his joy? His children. His children were his joy. We should learn from him. And then, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 2:20, Paul tells his children, he says, you are our glory and our joy. This is why we need to question our experience if we don't have fruit. Because, yeah, we have some level of grace. But are all the riches of the vine, are they ours? Okay? So, part of the problem is we have a bad habit. Okay? I don't want you to think that we're just talking about soul winning, because we're not. We're talking about fruit bearing according to the God-ordained way, which is to bear normal fruit which remains. We're not talking about miraculous soul winning. We might baptize 50 people in one night. We're not talking about that. But here's what Watchman Nee says. Okay, this is the first stage in the God-ordained way. It's to beget people. Okay, I'm going to talk to myself. You should bring many with you when you meet the Lord. It's from the New Believer series. You should bring many with you when you meet the Lord. If a believer does not open his mouth from the very, very beginning, after a few days, he will form a habit of keeping his mouth closed. And then it will take much effort to turn the matter around. Okay? So let's just speak to who we are. Let's see, how many people here were regenerated when they were a child? Let's say less than 12. That's quite a few of you. I'm in that same boat. Is there anybody who was regenerated within the last year? Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. A new believer. A new believer. If a believer does not open his mouth from the very beginning, after a few days. Is there anybody here who got saved a few days ago? Okay, then we all need to be opening our mouths, because a few days have passed and that can result in a habit. Okay? All right? See, I was regenerated probably 5 years old. And I remember a change in my life and having the Lord Jesus in me and being with my unbelieving stepfather. I just could not stop talking about Jesus. And we were at 7-Eleven, and he said, "Philip, would you please stop talking about God?" And I said, okay, but I want to say one more thing. And he said, okay, that's fine. I said, God created this whole universe and this whole world, including you and me. That's it. You know what that is? That's the gospel according to a 5-year-old. The life in us just wants you to know you were created by God. You were. But I confess, I developed a habit of keeping my mouth shut. So Watchman Nee says, it will take much effort to turn the matter around. Okay, here's where we want to get practical. We all agree with fruit bearing, don't we?
Amen.
And we all want to bear fruit, right?
Amen.
Okay, I mean, we don't have to sell this. We talk about this every college training. We all agree with it.
Amen.
Okay, so here's some practical points, okay? Here's part of the much effort to turn it around. I want to read this, something from Serving with a Burden. Having a burden. Are you burdened to bear fruit?
Amen.
Really?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Are you burdened to bear fruit?
Amen.
Okay, having a burden means that we have a goal with which we must reach. If we have not reached our goal or are unable to produce the expected result, we should be concerned. If we are able to serve, even though there is no result, we do not have a burden. Okay? So the one thing is we got to have a goal. A realistic goal. Okay? Follow the example of the human life. We bear one human child a year. And another point is, we don't do it on our own. We need someone else. Your goal should include one person a year of 3 to 5 names. If we're diligent, if we really have a burden, and I'm going to share about how to maintain that burden, we'll have a goal. If we don't have a goal, then we don't have a burden. If there's zero goal, we should say, I have zero burden. That's just the ministry. Okay? So, but sometimes we're in the church life like this. employees in a big company. We could all be here as employees in a big company who work a fixed hours, a number of hours every day, and simply do the tasks that are assigned to them. You simply do the tasks at your campus that are assigned to you, and you do not make big mistakes, and you're not concerned whether the company makes a profit. They're employees without a burden. They serve without a burden. If we make no profit on the first day of our business, we should be concerned about our livelihood. If the serving brothers where they serve in the children's work or the young people's work have this kind of consciousness, they will succeed. Every serving one must be burdened to the extent that he feels responsible if the work does not succeed. He should be like a businessman who thinks of his business even in his sleep. Okay, so we should have a companion or two with whom we pray. And together we need to do business. And we should feel concerned if we don't make a profit. Okay? So that means we have to come together to pray. So first of all, we need a burden which equals a goal. Also, we need to pray. We need to pray individually. The problem we're going to see in the next section is we just don't have the heart for man. We don't have it, but the Lord does. And then we need to pray in twos and threes. We need to have a list. This is in the ministry. Okay, who here has ever brought a guitar to a meeting? Oh, raise your hand. Why did you bring the guitar to the meeting? Huh? Because you intended to play guitar. Who here has ever brought a list of names to a meeting? It's less people. So you have the goal of singing songs, so you bring the guitar. But do you have the goal of bearing fruit? Where's your list? Do you sit down together and you say, okay, what does this person need? Do they just need to be invited to a home on Friday? Maybe they need to read their Bible. How are we going to get this person to read their Bible? Maybe it's best for you to go visit this person twice a week and read the Bible. You know, this is having an intention. This is having a burden. We bring the guitar because we intend to sing. We need to bring our people on our list because we intend to see some profit. We need to bring those to our meetings and have some whom we can coordinate with. So many of you meet with saints in homes and they want to bear fruit too. They all agree with fruit bearing too. We need to sit down and say, we have a subtle enemy. We don't like this enemy. 3 years can't go by and we don't bear remaining fruit. We need to make a list. We need to make some profit. We need to pray. Okay, and here's how you can pray. I love this. What Brother Ron shared in message 6. Why was man created? Man was created to express God. Amen. To express God. And to destroy the enemy. Amen. Oh, every one of you, why were you created? First of all, to express God. Second of all, to destroy the enemy. That's your right. You don't have to beg for that. That's why you were created. When you come together and pray, don't beg. Take the Spirit that has baptized the body. You just tell the Lord, I'm a man. You made me to be a man. I want to do what I was created for. I must bear fruit because that is expressing God. God is expressed when the vine bears fruit. Don't beg for that. Go to God with your case. I hate my barrenness. This is the way I pray. I hate it. It's not my portion. You didn't give it to me. It came from my habit. We can pray with our companions this way. But what I was created for is to express God and destroy the enemy. So I claim this portion, Lord. We're here. We're here and we want to make a profit. Okay? So this is basically all I wanted to share. We all agree with fruit bearing. We do. But we got to consider, we need to use some of our time and our energy for this. It's not good enough to take care of meetings, to just simply get our tasks done without making big mistakes. We only have so much time and energy. And if barrenness has crept in, we need to attack it.
Amen.
We've got to take some of that time, some of that energy, get with our two and three, and say, no more. I won't be so busy without the fruit. Because I can't say anymore, yes, I really enjoyed the Lord for these last 2 years, but there's no fruit. The fruit is the joy. It's the evidence of the enjoyment of the riches. Okay, you understand? Let's just be practical. What do you say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Fruit bearing in the vine.
Fruit bearing in the vine. All the
riches of God's life are mine. Never to wiggle, we're fruit bearing in the vine. Fruit bearing in the vine, bearing in the vine.
Bear fruit!
All the riches of God's life are mine. Praise God, He put us here. Never to leave, but we're fruit bearing in the vine.
Amen. We want to bear fruit.
Amen.
Right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. The title is Bearing Fruit and Having a Heart of Love. So in the title, three things are here. One is more implied, but bearing fruit, that's the goal. Okay? What it's not mentioned is life is the source. Right? We've all been put into Christ as the true vine. We are branches in the vine. So life is the source. And then having a heart of love. Love is the condition by which we will be enabled to bear fruit. We need a heart of love to care for man. Do you have a heart of love to care for man? You do. You do. We'll find that out. Okay. Amen. I have a kind of a particular burden because I serve on a college campus or campuses in San Diego. I see you all, you know, a lot. Maybe more than you know. You know, you don't know how much we pray for you, you know, every day, even by prayer, by names, you know. But there are some that are supporting you, and I want you to know that. But I also want you to know that God has chosen you to take the lead on your college campus, and you are the best ones to bear fruit there. And we're here to supply you, okay? You need to know that. You need to know that. But no one can take your place. But what I've seen is that we tend to be kind of in two ways. One is we kind of look for miracles, right? A welcome dinner, 15 new ones showed up. That was awesome. High fives all around. I invited 3. Respect, you know? I mean, they even put their names down on the list, right? But where are those people today? Right? Right? There's something wrong. Right? That's miracle seeking. That's not the normal way to bear fruit. You know, actually, even you could go and enjoy the Lord in a conference and share something to someone, and they'll get saved. Because the Lord honors His word. It's really true. But then where are they today? Where are they today? Right? Oh Lord. Maybe we didn't continue in the things we were enjoying. Right? So that there's some life there, but not enough. Not maintained. Okay? The other thing I've kind of noticed is we can tend to get caught up in all the activities. The work. Our busyness, right? A lot of you all are coordinating
welcome dinners, tabling, right? You have to make flyers, right? You know, be there to greet the incoming orientees, right? All the things involved in that. Maybe you're coordinating a home meeting, a Bible study, right? Does this sound familiar to anybody? Are we all laboring in these kind of activities? Well, I need to tell you something. That is wonderful, but, and we must do all these activities. These are all venues. But that alone will not bear fruit. Right? That alone will not bear fruit. Okay. If we fail at it, think about what happens to us. We did really hard, you know, invite people to come to this welcome dinner, and the sharing wasn't that good, and the singing was okay, you know, and you spent all this time and energy in it. What happens? You get disappointed, right? And a little discouraged, right? And so maybe we'll try again. Amen. Maybe some of you like that. Let's do it again, and we'll do it better this time. So let's change the songs, and let's do this, and let's do that, and let's do. But our heart is set on the work. It's on only on the activity. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with those activities. And we need them. And we need to get more skillful in them. But that alone cannot bear fruit. Okay? How about if we have a success? Oh, that was the best meeting. Right? We're so busy high-fiving and even praising God because it was such a good event. Are you an event planner? Do you take pride in your events? Right? Because our heart is wrapped up in that success, what ends up happening is the ones that came get forgotten. Right? Where are they? I mean, over the years, I've been serving eight years, I think. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! I was in college too. Amen. Right? You know, not all of them that we saw are here. Nope. Okay. I like to let you know that alone can't do it. What we need is life.
Amen.
Right? The God-ordained way, and what we need is love. The God-ordained way begins with a personal revival. Right? And so, if you mean business with bearing fruit, we ourselves must go to the Lord and deal with Him regarding this matter. Right? We need to go get the life and go get the heart that loves man. Can we all make a strong determination in this training to go to the Lord and get this life and get this heart for man? And maybe even a consecration to the Lord, that we come to Him day by day in this kind of way. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's do that. So having a heart of love to care for people, let me tell you right now, God's heart is the only heart that loves man. We're all fallen. We've all been corrupted by Satan, right? Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy man. You know, he doesn't mind at all. If you have 100 unbelievers in your class and you're sitting right there just so anxious about your grade, your career, and whatnot, and that you don't talk to anyone, he doesn't care about that at all. Oh, good job. Go enjoy the Lord. Amen. In the meeting. But don't touch all those there, you know. He doesn't mind at all. He wants man to perish with him. He's bitter, you know. But God has a heart of love. In 1 Timothy 2:4, does anyone remember that verse? Amen. God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. God has a desire for all men to be saved. That's His heart of love, care for man. Right? And in John 3:16, of course, what? For God so loved the world. The world. Do you love the people in the world? You see them every day. You're on college campuses. Is there a love for them? A love for them. Amen. Well, God loves them. And I was impressed recently in the summer training on Hosea 11:4. And that verse reads, and this is Jehovah speaking, I will draw them with cords of a man, with bands of love. That's His heart. I will draw those people, the ones you see every day, with cords of a man and with bands of love. Right? The bands of love, that's the eternal love, the love of God. Right? And those cords of a man, that's really where you get the care. See, He comes to you in your condition as a man. Cords of a man. God in Christ Jesus as a man came to us. Right? He died on the cross. He resurrected as a man. This was God's love, the divine love, the eternal love reaching us. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. So strong, right? Well, you see this heart reproduced in a very good pattern in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, right? Maybe we could look at our Bibles real quick. And let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 11. Do you have it? Let's read it together. In your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children, yearning in this... Oh, sorry, sorry. 11. You know how we were to each one of you as a father to his own children, exhorting you and consoling you and testifying. See, our God's heart is a father's heart. As a mother's care, this is our God's heart. And this was the Apostle Paul's heart. And he's a pattern to all of us, right? But have you considered what it is, really, to have a father's heart and a mother's care, right? Well, moms, they just care. You know? We kind of miss it sometimes with brothers. We don't really notice. You know? If there's a new one among us, maybe they're just had a really bad day. But we have no way. We just don't even sense it, you know? And sisters, they pick up on it. Oh, something's wrong. Some unspoken language you all have. You know, it's there. You guys can sense it. Lord Jesus, you know, sometimes when I'm in my spirit, I can sense it too, because I have God. Amen. But, you know, brothers, we care more about the upbringing, right? You know, what these we want them to learn something. We want them to go through certain experiences so they become a kind of person useful in society, right? Right? We'll even let them, right, go through pain because we know that's a good lesson for them, right? And even sometimes, we'll discipline them, right? Because we know, yes, we love them, yes, we care for them, but we know that if we let this go now, this will be like termites rotting their humanity. One day, the Lord won't be able to use them too much, right? So, fathers, we care more for the upbringing. Sisters, it's like instant care, you know. Boom, boom. Oh, there's a need. Let's fill it. Here's a need. Let's fill it. Well, this is a mother's heart, right, to cherish. And a father's exhorting, right, exhorting. Okay, so I wanted to bring up two brothers at this point to share their testimonies. They received this kind of care. I believe many of us in this room, not all of us, have received this kind of care. But can you come up now, Jake and Salvador? And I have a mic for you here. Amen. Come on up. Amen. And so I'm going to let them share their testimony, and I'm going to underline some things, and amen, then we'll continue. Okay, one at a time. Yeah. Amen.
So I am Salvador, and I was first saved in fourth grade, so I was around 9 years old. And praise the Lord. And the brother who labored over the young people at that time was so amazing, because I really could see his heart being duplicated by the Lord. He had the same burden for all of the young people, and he really took care of all of the young people like his own children. And so starting from, I'd say, so yeah, fourth grade all the way to senior year in high school, he would call me every morning at 6:30.
How many years is that?
Around nine years. And to this
Wait,
point,
what time in the morning?
6:30. Yeah, 6:30. And I don't know, like for most children, like to sleep in. And I hated the idea of waking up so early. I started school at 8. What's the point of waking up at 6:30? And so every night, I would purposely fall asleep late. And because I knew this brother was, like, so sweet that even if I say, oh, I lost my book, he would always read it to me. And or, like, the first, I'd say, couple of weeks of him reading with me, I would fall asleep on him as we're reading. And he would just hear me snore and on the phone. And this brother was so patient with me. And I appreciate it. And I can tell you, this one time I went to a prayer meeting for the first time. And I saw him praying, and he would just pray for the young people. And it really gave me a burden. Like, it's taken him 9 years for me to really see how much of brothers love us. And now, because he left, he went to China to take care of the young people there. I have the same burden for the young people, and now I work with young people. And I really don't know how he did it. And oh, brother, if you're seeing this, I'm so sorry. But praise the Lord. I know he, I've many times have walked in the room where he's praying that the Lord would come to be the patient person in him, and I know he did it with Christ. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Wait, just real quick, Salvador, before you go. That amount of time is a commitment. When you pick up a burden for someone, you're willing to carry them until, I would even say, the New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a father's heart. Also, did you hear patience? You hear the mean things he did to him? I'm going to go to bed late. I kind of, you don't think he realized that? Like, his brother? Of course he did. But you know, sometimes parents get treated pretty bad by their kids. You ever treat your parents bad? Right? Oh, come on. You're telling me you don't like him? Go away. I don't want to be with you right now. Okay, anyway. But he stuck with him, right? Amen. That's love. Amen. And that's care. Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My name's Jacob. I've been saved for a long time, since I was a kid, but I just moved out here to California like a year and a half ago, and I didn't know anything about the church life, but I was just on campus one day, a couple months after I moved here in Oceanside at MiraCosta College, and they had the Bibles for America table set up, and I stopped by there and talked to one of the brothers who was handing out the Bibles, and they didn't have any Bibles left. He gave me just the card to get one online, and he just talked to me for a minute and showed me some verses and stuff, and asked me if I'd like to have a Bible study sometime on campus. So I said, okay, sure, why not? So he ended up setting up a time with me, and that brother didn't show up, but he made sure to send somebody else, Even though he couldn't make it, he made sure somebody, still made it. And So this brother that came and started visiting me, you know, he started showing me just how to just come to the Word in a prayerful way, how to just open up the Word and just really see the light there, enjoy the Lord, and, you know, how to pray, read it. And he really, I could see he really cared for me. He didn't just come and, like, read the Bible with me and then leave, you know, but he would hang around, take his time, and pray with me, ask me, you know, about what I was going through and things like that. And, you know, just really, and he really was concerned, you know, about my situation. And he kept coming week after week, even though this brother lives in San Diego and the school that I went to was in Oceanside, which is like a good 30 or 40 minutes away, I think, drive. Every week he kept coming, and he's still, like, even up through last semester, like every week or sometimes twice a week, he comes to meet me. And he, like, you know, works around my schedule, you know, asks me when I have a break between classes and stuff so that he can make sure, you know, he has time to meet with me. And so, like, after meeting with me for, you know, several weeks, he then, you know, he didn't just stop there, but then he, you know, asked me if I'd like to go to a meeting sometime. And so I said, okay, you know, because I liked what he was showing me in the, you know, Recovery Version Bible and what we were talking about and whatnot. So I thought, okay. And so then he, you know, started coming and driving up and picking me up and taking me to college meetings, you know, in my area, like on Wednesday nights and Friday nights. And, you know, once again, like going out of his way, taking time out of his life to come drive and pick me up and take me to these meetings that he doesn't normally go to because they're so far away. And then, you know, praise the Lord, I like those meetings. And so then he didn't just stop there, but then he asked me if I wanted to go to the meeting on Sunday, the Lord's Table meeting. So I was like, okay. And excuse me. And so, and, like, I live, the reason I moved out here is because I live with my brother-in-law. He's a Marine. He lives on Camp Pendleton. And so I live all the way up on Camp Pendleton, like, good, like, probably 45 minutes at least drive from where this brother lives. But he would get up early on Sunday morning and come drive all the way up onto a military base to my house and pick me up and just to take me to the Lord's Table meeting. And he did this, like, several times, you know, because, you know, I didn't have a car or any, you know, way to get there. So he, you know, cared for that need and would come and pick me up, take me to that meeting. And, wow, like, I mean, I really appreciate what this brother did for me, you know. He really just kept laboring and kept continuing, kept, you know, like, making sure to help me with my need. You know, I didn't have a car, so he would come pick me up and take me to the meetings. And, you know, he didn't just stop with meeting me at campus, but then took me to the college meetings. Didn't stop with the college meetings, but started taking me to the Lord's Table meetings. Amen. So, amen.
Amen.
Time saved.
Yeah.
Okay, just I want to underline a couple of things here. Sacrifice. A parent's heart is one of sacrifice. Two, willing to endure all kinds of inconvenience.
Yeah.
It's really a matter of putting someone else first. Lord, give us your heart.
Amen.
And then finally, you'll probably lose some sleep. Any parent knows you're going to lose some sleep. That's okay. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers, thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Amen. Oh, wait, Jake. Is that brother here in this room?
Yeah.
You know who you are, right? Was it worth it? Say amen, hallelujah.
Amen, hallelujah.
Okay, amen.
Amen.
You think his joy is made full seeing
amen.
Jacob here?
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Do you want to taste that?
Yeah. Amen.
Do you want to experience that?
Amen.
Awesome. We have one problem. That's our heart. But I'd like to give you a practical way to solve that. One, it's real easy. You just go to the Lord with the light that you have. Okay, so the Lord probably convicted some here today. I'm barren. I want to bring fruit forth in a normal way. One, maybe, each year, like plants, you know, just normal, according to life. Deal with that light. Don't ignore it. Don't let it go. Just talk to the Lord about it. Lord, I want that kind of heart. And then I have maybe a confession. I have a stony heart, right? We just read those verses in Ezekiel 36, 26. I have a stony heart. Give me your heart for man. Amen. Give me a new heart to love you and love who you love, which is man. Okay?
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I also like to give you one more practical thing in your experience of shepherding people and caring for them. You must go. Don't put the burden on them to come to you. Did you get that? He went calling every morning. You don't think he had a lot of things going on in his life? Caring for a 9-year-old? No, seriously. We all use this excuse, right? Oh, midterms. Not this week. I won't do it this week, right? I'm so busy. Well, that's not, you have another heart. You've been given a new spirit and a new heart.
Amen.
And all we must do is exercise it.
Amen.
You got that? Exercise it. Amen. Begin with the Lord and then grab another brother, make that list and pray. Go in your praying, go in your praying. And then go in your going. John 15:16, I'll close with this. I have set you that you should go forth and that your fruit shall remain.
Amen.
Lord, may we all be one with you to bear remaining fruit.
Amen.
Amen.